you love wrestling podcasts but hate all the ads? Well, you can get all the great podcasts early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com. It only starts at $9 a month, but you get exclusive series at adfreeshows.com like Title Chase, Eric Fires Back, Conversations with Conrad, and tons more, and a chance to interact with your favorite podcast hosts every month. See for yourself why thousands of other wrestling fans say adfreeshows.com is the best value in wrestling. Adfreeshows.com.
Well, he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. He's a real athlete, so give him your respect. He's got intensity, integrity, intelligence too. Oh, it's true, it's damn true. And with one eagle slam, he'll lay you out on the floor. So listen up, it's time to go. It's the Kurt Angle Show.
We are broadcasting from the Blue Chew Studios. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code ANGLE at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, I'll be answering all of your questions. And the question master is here with us today, and his name is Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I've been looking forward to this episode, putting you under fire, asking you all these great questions.
This is under fire, all the fans' questions.
This is it, man. But before we get into that, we got a little bit ahead recording-wise because we knew you were going away to Liverpool for a really, you know, what looked like to be a fantastic trip. Tell us all about it, man. How was your trip over there?
Well, I toured six cities. Five of them were for the Kurt Angle Olympic Hero Tour. And one was for the convention, for the Love of Wrestling convention. And the turnout was incredible. All six cities were awesome. These fans are incredible. They're great Kurt Angle fans, and I absolutely love them.
Did you hear any feedback? Are they listening to the Kurt Angle Show? Did any of them mention
it to you? Oh, that's all they talked about. We love your podcast. Love your show, Kurt Angle. I was like, amen, brother. That's right. My show rocks, man.
And if you do, here's some chicken snacks that you can buy. I love it.
I forgot the chicken snacks. A lot of them asked for them, and that's why I didn't bring them along. They can't get them over in Europe yet. And I said, it's coming. Eventually, we'll have a distributor.
Well, buddy, we have lots of questions, as you said, as we kick this one off. So we're going to jump into it. We collected them from social media. We have them from our ad-free shows family as well. But I want to kick it off with someone that got to meet you over there, and that's Sam Blake. My buddy Sam, he said, Kurt, I got to see you while you were in Liverpool, and you spoke to you. And I spoke to you about my three-year-old daughter who watched your SmackDown Triple Threat versus Undertaker and Benoit. And she said she loved Kurt Angle. She also asked me if I was staying at Kurt's house. And he said it was a true honor to meet you, and I hope your operation on your knees goes well and you recover quickly. Thanks for the great podcast. So there it is, Sam. That's thank you so act. Much, man. You remember meeting yes. him, I'm sure, over there as well as so many.
Yes, I do. I remember all of them. They're incredible people over there. They're some of the best fans in the world.
Man, that's awesome. Well, Sam, there you go. And I'm so glad you were finally able to meet Kurt and have a good time over there. And give your daughter an Olympic hug on behalf of your Olympic hero. That's right. There you go. All right, here we go. Instagram, a wrestling historian, is here. And he says, at No Way Out 2003, it was strongly hinted that Team Angle took out Edge backstage to get the advantage over Brock Lesnar and Chris Benoit. Was the plan for you and Edge to feud again once he came back after healing? And if so, why didn't it happen? Thanks, Kurt.
Well, I think the reason why we even took Edge out is because he got injured and they wanted to keep the match, make it a handicap match. Brock and Benoit versus Team Angle, 2 versus 3. But storyline-wise, we had to take Edge out. And that created a lot of heat for our team because if we took him out on the show, it made it look like we were the bad guys and we wanted to, you know, have the advantage. So there wasn't any plans for me to wrestle Edge after that. It's just that Edge got injured and we had to take him out.
Okay. So no plans there. A great question from you. Instagram wrestling historian, man, he's always putting us over on social media and taking care of us there. So thank you.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Love him.
Yep, phenomenal. Richie is up next. And listen, Kurt, before we ask his question, I actually have a couple clips this week to play to help jar some memories for certain questions, and this is one of them. And this is around the Jay Lethal X Division title match that you had with him. So I'm going to play the clip, and then I'm going to go ahead and ask Richie's questions. So let's check it out.
The Monster Best has to be drooling. He has to be just savoring what's coming up. And now you can see Kurt Angle. He had it, almost lost it. But look at this. Oh, wait a minute. The kid just has no quit in him.
Two count.
I mean, what has he got to do?
Oh, there's another one. This time released. And again, the German suplex takes Lethal, takes Black Machismo high into the air. And then the impact of that move as he comes crashing down across his head and across his neck.
I mean, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Kurt Angle having a trouble getting to his feet now. Now he reaches in.
Straps down. And as soon as Black Machismo gets up, you know that Angle is going to unleash that fierce offense again.
Oh, he's going for it. He goes up. Oh, but look at this.
Olympic slam. Roll through. Here comes the ankle lock.
Here he comes. Got it.
Lethal going to tap. Wait, no, roll through.
Two. What? 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 I know I was sitting here telling you every way that Jay Lethal could beat him, but I never once in my mind believed that he could beat Kurt Angle. I gotta be serious.
Ah, so there it is. And let's get into Richie's question. He says, were there any serious discussions with you having a run in TNA as in the X Division? Your match with Jay Lethal for the X Division title was one of my favorites from that era and thought your style would gel well with the talent at that time.
Well, when I started in TNA, the staple of the company was the X Division. That was the most popular division in the company. And I would have loved to have been a part of it. Especially with my style, I had a different style than most of the X Division guys. And I think I would have added to it. I would have made it more popular. And the crazy thing about that match is Jay Lethal wasn't supposed to beat me.
Tell
we got
us.
Some heat for that match.
Uh-oh.
Now, understand at this particular time, they wanted me to hold all the titles. So I was TNA World Heavyweight Champion. I was IWGP Champion. I was TNA Tag Team Champion. I was X Division Champion. They wanted all the gold around me. And I felt like, you know what? I want to give back to these guys. And I thought, you know what? Why not put Jay Lethal over in the X Division? I thought it was a great idea. Of course, we got a little heat for it. And Jay Lethal didn't hold that title very long afterward. So he ended up losing, I think, the next match. And so that's, I didn't get heat for it, but he did. And it was unfortunate.
So what do you get in the ring and you just make the call in the ring and say, hey, you're going over, kid.
Oh, beforehand,
okay.
I told him, I said, let's just not say anything. You know, don't tell anybody. Let's just put you over. And that's what I did. And I wasn't supposed to.
Yikes. Wow. I'm sure he was eternally grateful, though, for giving him that moment, man. That's so cool.
Hey, it was a great match, and it was a great moment. I thought it was awesome. It couldn't have been better. And, you know, Jay Lethal was such an incredible worker. I love working with him. And I knew we'd have a great match. And I just wanted to put the kid over. I was holding all the gold. I didn't need all that gold.
Yeah. I mean, how much gold can one man hold? That's the question for Kurt.
Well,
Angle.
If there's a man that absolutely loves gold, it's me.
He knows how to hold the gold. That's for sure. Listen, and it was cool too, because the reaction from the announcers was kind of like, holy shit, what did we just see?
Right. So I don't even know if they knew.
Yeah, it was real. And now look at this guy, Jay Lethal, still getting it done, doing his thing now with AEW/ROH. And, He's trying to pick fights with Samoa Joe, and that's going to be fun to watch. So good stuff there. Fernando Diaz is up next, and he says, Kurt, how many times has Kurt used the "I want a gold medal with the broken freaking neck" gimmick to win an argument against his wife?
A million times.
Have you ever won an argument against your wife? Maybe we should start there.
Well, we would argue over, you know, whether I would take out the trash or I would clean the car. And she'd say, hey, it's time to take out the trash. I'd say, I don't have to. I want a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Clean the car. I don't have to. I want a gold medal with a broken freaking neck.
And then
I used it at least a million times.
I somehow picture her, just knowing her and from her podcast, that you would get a quick F you right
oh,
back.
Oh, yeah. I got many of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She never lets me live it down. She's always going to be on me. Yeah.
I love it. Oh, man. I bet you guys have some fun dialogue around the Angle House for sure. That's cool.
Are you feeling stuck making minimum payments on your credit card debt? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? Get rid of your credit card debt and lower your monthly payments right now at SaveWithConrad.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right. What up next? Awful and Good Wrestling Podcast says thoughts on Joe Gacy and Harland, aka Parker Boudreaux. So these are guys that are with NXT. What are your thoughts on them?
Well, what I know of them, Joe Gacy is kind of like the talker. He seems like he's the manager. I know they're both active wrestlers. Harland seems like he's the muscle. Yeah. But they have really good chemistry. I actually like these guys. I think they're going to do really well.
Yeah, it was interesting when Parker, when he first got signed by WWE, he had this Brock Lesnar look to him. He had the big traps, and he looked a lot like Brock. And everybody thought, oh, is this going to, they're going to try to make him 2.0. Well, Brock they immediately shaved his head. They immediately, you know, shaved his head and gave him a completely different.
They took that idea out of anybody's head, huh?
So they kind of crushed that with this whole Harlan thing. So it'll be fun to see how they transform. And listen, it's NXT. Whatever they do in NXT, you know they'll change everything once they get to the main roster.
Without a doubt, anyway. You're right.
So we'll see what happens. Diamond Dog Fitness is up next. And he said, how do video game royalties work? Which game did you make the most money for? Was it WrestleMania 19, the video game? Because you were on the cover. Also, how much does the talent care about being on the cover and their overall rating in the game?
Well, all right, first and foremost, if you're on the cover, you're getting a bonus. You're getting a lot of money up front. Not only that, if you're on the cover, when people buy the game, you get more money than everybody else. And what was the last question?
He said,
the rating.
Yeah.
You want to have a strong rating so the fans play you, so they will demand you for the next video game. So your rating, you always want it to be higher. You definitely want to have the highest rating, as high as you can possibly get.
Yeah, no, that seems important. And man, that's kind of a cool thing. You know, Kurt Angle on the cover of a video game. Do you ever see any guys in line coming through getting those autographed? Do you ever autograph any of those video games?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of WWE 2K video games. Yeah, it's very popular. I would say it's second to the Pop action figures.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Up next is Keith Hellebrand. He said, did Cena ever run his raps before you beforehand? And before you answer that question, Kurt, we have an example of one of those raps to share with you. Here we go.
So Kurt Angle tried to diss me, but he just came off soft. He's like Siegfried and Roy, and I'm a tiger that's pissed off. This is John Cena. It's time to get dirty at No Mercy. And you don't want to mess with me. I'm like a prostitute with herpes. Thought he was funny with his midget that he couldn't take his hands off. You want to see a real joke? Have Kurt Angle take his pants off. He claims intelligence. That's impossible. His head is hollow. His t-shirt used to say you suck, but they had to switch it because he swallows. That's nice. You want to show your true colors, Kurt? Then dress up like a chick. And stop acting like we're married. Get the hell off my...
You know, it's some point in time, John Cena is going to show someone in the WWE respect.
Okay, Kurt. So, did he ever run his raps past you before he went out there and did something like that?
He never did. It was always a surprise, whatever John said. So he never ran it by me beforehand. We never went over it beforehand. Even when I rapped against him, we didn't even go over it beforehand. We went out there and did our thing. We both knew what we were going to say, but we didn't intermingle with each other beforehand. Cena likes to just do it out there. That's his thing.
And what are your thoughts on some of that rapping that we just heard? Is that like,
it's a bit offensive, but you know what? You know, the thing is, this was in the Ruthless Aggression era, and they were still a little edgy.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Edgy as now. But John Cena was probably the last of that. And then he kind of cleaned up his act eventually.
Oh, he had to. Yeah, because then it became, you know, granting wishes for kids and, you know, the poster, the poster boy across America.
Make a wish.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is a little different, for sure. But all right. Well, hey, there you go. There's your answer. You never ran him past Kurt. Kurt just sat in the back and took it and thought, I'll stiff you later, Cena in the ring. There you go. James Grunberg's up next. He says, when you did the moonsault off the cage versus Chris Benoit, did you have any jaw damage? That bounce off your chin looked painful. And Kurt, I have it for you in our last clip of the week.
Nice.
We're going to take a look at it. Here we go.
Okay.
So, Kurt, what say you? Did you injure your chin on that one?
No, I'm a dumbass, though.
My God.
I actually knocked the wind out of myself. But on one of those moonsaults, I believe it was a year later, I did it again, I think, with Chris Benoit. And I blew my knee out. And I had to have knee surgery. That was in the end of 2002. And I wrestled Benoit at the Royal Rumble in 2003. For the world championship. I remember that. So this was a little bit earlier. This was in 2001, I believe.
Yeah.
And this was when Austin was out there and we were trying to impress Stone Cold. We wanted to show that we wanted to work with them. So yeah, we're doing crazy ass stuff. And you know what we did? We scared him.
Yeah, you did.
He was like, I don't want to work with these guys.
Yeah.
These guys are idiots.
Crazy.
And so we had to like tone down our styles and show that, you know, we could work safely and not be effing crazy. And you know, it was just crazy that Stone Cold Steve Austin was not interested in working us with us at this time. And that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to impress him to say, hey, I want to work with these guys. And it backfired on us.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, Kurt, next question comes from us Slovakia 99. And he says, besides wrestling, what are your favorite Olympic sports?
Well, you know what? For me, I like combat sports. So I would say judo, boxing, wrestling. Also, I do like basketball. And the reason is ever since the Dream Team became eligible,
yeah,
I'm really interested in that because I watch college basketball. I love the NCAAs. And seeing these guys go pro and follow them throughout the pros is pretty cool. But to see them at the Olympic Games, you know, they're the best basketball players in the world. It's really cool that they're able to represent their countries and be pro basketball players.
Do you have a favorite college basketball team?
I'm a big Pitt fan. They haven't been that great in years, but back in the 90s, they were ranked two times,
yeah,
in the preseason. And that's when I really fell in love with Pitt basketball.
Okay. Very cool.
Psst. Who's going to take care of your family if something happens to you? What would they do without your income? If you don't have a plan, you need to go to GoliathLife.com. Get a quick quote for more than 20 carriers. You don't even have to leave the house. If you need a medical exam, they'll send somebody to your house or office. You're in total control. You pick the rates, you pick the payments, you pick the terms. You're in total control, but it gives you and your family peace of mind. What if something happens to your income? Hurry to GoliathLife.com.
Well, Kurt, we move on, and adfreeshows.com slapnut to count Kyle asks, Kurt, my favorite matches of yours, most of my favorites, by the way, have you in them, were with Benoit, Lesnar, and Jericho. As someone who is regarded as El Stiffo, out of the Chris's and Brock, who did you come away with from a match feeling the most brutalized from?
Okay. Up front, I'm the stiffest of the four. So
well,
I'm
guilty as charged.
But Benoit, his chops were stiff as hell. They hurt like a son of a bitch, and you ended up with bruises all over.
Gunshots.
Yeah, they were really stiff. Brock Lesnar, when he threw you, he was so strong and powerful. When you bumped, it hurt like a son of a bitch. But with Jericho, as great of a worker as he was, and he's one of the greatest of all time, that son of a bitch was El Stiffo with the punches and kicks all the time. they weren't fake. They hurt for real. But don't get me wrong. Chris Jericho was an incredible worker. I absolutely enjoyed working with him. He was just stiff as hell.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And I'm telling you, if you watch any of the matches he's putting on with Eddie Kingston right now, those two are absolutely brutalizing each other in the ring. He seems like he hasn't lost any of that stiffness.
No, he's sure. Still on top of his game and El Stiffo as ever.
adfreeshows.com, my push member, Christoph Hankerson asks, I really love how Tony Khan and AEW are using the legends they have employed on their roster, specifically William Regal and the Blackpool Combat Club. I know you had the world's best tag team back in the early 2000s with Benjamin and Haas, but if you were put in that role today, what wrestlers would you want to be in your stable slash faction, and what would you call it?
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a good one.
I'm not sure what I would call it, but I would pick the Olympic Bullies, Gable Stevenson and Chad Gable. Okay. Both have the same name, different first and last names. Well, They're Gable,
you know, yeah.
One's the first name, one's the last name. But you know what? I think that would be the new regenerated Team Angle.
Okay.
And I would absolutely love to manage those guys. That would have been awesome.
The Olympic Boys. I think you named them too there.
The Olympic Boys. That's a great idea. My problem is you can't use the word Olympic.
Oh, damn that.
Sue your ass.
Oh, there you go. Nah, but man, what a stable, and Kurt Angle's the mouthpiece of those guys. I think that would be pretty cool. Get it going on social media, kids. Let's get Kurt Angle running his own stable. I love it. There you go. All right, we move on. And speaking of pushing it, my push member, Drew Landry, says, in your Hall of Fame induction speech, you said that you had a meeting with Vince after the 96 Olympics, and you said you couldn't lose to anyone, and that was the end of the meeting. Looking back, had you not said that and been around to be paired with Bret Hart during his anti-American gimmick run in 97, how different would your career have been?
Oh, good question. I don't know if my career would have been much different, but wrestling Bret Hart would have made all the difference in the world. He's the one guy that got past me that I always wanted to work with, and I've always had the utmost respect for him ever since I watched him wrestle against Shawn Michaels in an Iron Man match at WrestleMania. It was incredible. And I knew right then that I felt that those two were the best of all time. And Bret Hart is definitely one of the best in-ring technicians of all time.
Mm, so true. My goodness, fantasy booking. I'm sure how many people on their video games, speaking of video games, have had Kurt Angle versus Bret Hart against each other. I mean, it's a match made in heaven.
It's a dream match.
It is.
It's not going to happen, but unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Devin Dowling, our buddy. He's a slap nut from Ad Free Shows. You got to love these names. The My Push members, the slap nut members. Devin says, what'd you get the kids and misses for Easter? So what did you get them all for Easter?
Well, pretty typical. I got the kids candy and I got the wife flowers and I got them both cards. Nothing special, but a nice Easter. They enjoyed it. They ate all their candy. There's nothing left. I ate a little bit of it too. I'm not going to lie to you.
You got off your chicken
breast. I usually go in there
broccoli.
In the middle of the night. I go in the kids' candies in the middle of the night. I'm a night eater, and that's when I go crazy.
Yeah, man. The before bedtime has always been the hardest for me. What am I kidding? Look at me every time.
Me, it's after bedtime. Yeah. It's waking up and going
really
and eating. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. So like sleepwalking, you're just binge eating.
Yeah.
That's insane. So what about, did you go out for Easter dinner or were you cooking the ham? Or like, tell us a little bit about that. Give us the, are you an Italian meal guy? We're trying to learn about Team Angle.
You talking about for Easter?
Yeah, for Easter.
Well, for Easter, we actually had Chinese.
Okay.
Yes, we went to a Chinese food restaurant, believe it or not, because we knew it was going to be open regardless. They're always open. They never close. No holidays. Chinese food is always open for the public.
What's your go-to Chinese meal?
Oh, mine is I do steamed chicken and broccoli with white rice, steamed rice. I try to keep it low fat.
Imagine that.
Carbohydrates a little low.
Yeah, imagine that. I go straight chicken, broccoli, and white rice. Imagine that. Come on, Kurt. Where's the fun in that? We need.
There's no fun.
That's right.
It works for me.
There you go. All right. Adfreeshows.com. Top guy Brad Stanton asks, do you think Chad Gable is getting a good push now? And do you see some similarities between his character and yours?
I do believe Chad Gable's getting a better push. I wish he could get pushed a little bit more. But I do believe that he is becoming more entertaining. I do see similarities between him and myself, and I'm really proud of the kid. He's really came out of his shell, and he's been able to show that he has the ability to be an entertainer, not just a wrestler, but an overall entertainer. And he's doing it, and he's succeeding.
Yeah, he is. He's got the whole shoosh thing going on.
Yeah,
he's got that all going. And it is. They're bringing out the entertainment side of him. And because you know he's got the technical wrestling down pat. He's amazing.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. He's one of the best, yeah.
All right, adfreeshows.com. Enhancement talent, Matt Godfrey asks, Kurt, who's your all-time favorite Pittsburgh Steeler?
Wow, that's tough. I mean, you're talking about
so like many.
Mean Joe Green, Jack Lambert, Jack Hamm, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan, John Stallworth. But I will say that Franco Harris.
Franco.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was awesome. He was running back for the Steelers, one of the all-time rushing leaders in the NFL. And he was an all-pro, I think, at least 12 years. And he was incredible. He won 4 Super Bowls for the Steelers in the 70s. And what a team they had back then.
You got the statue in the airport, man, right there.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know what? You have a picture of, or you have a statue of George Washington, okay, who should be famous as hell.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he did for this country. And then you have Franco Harris, and nobody takes a picture with George Washington. Everybody goes to Franco Harris.
I love it. That's right.
And the pose he has is the Immaculate Reception.
That's exactly right.
Caught the ball down near his feet.
Yep.
Against the Raiders when they beat the Raiders in that last second play.
Yeah.
It's incredible, man.
And he definitely caught it. People, he definitely caught it.
They only want Franco Harris photos. They don't want George Washington photos.
That's something else. And as the Steelers have gone on, you know, you got your Hines Ward and your Jerome Bettises, and you've had all kinds of fun. Got Dermoni Dawson. Listen,
you know what? I love the Steelers of the 80s, Steelers of the 90s, Ben Roethlisberger, all those guys.
Yeah.
But I was a big fan of the 70s. That's when I grew up, when I was a little
kid. Yeah, you were a kid.
That's when they had the biggest impression on me.
That's cool, man. Oh, awesome. I love the questions are a little off the wrestling topic, because that's how you really get to know Kurt a little bit here more. But
get to know me, guys.
I do. I love it, man. This is fun. Adfreeshows.com top guy, Middle Kingdom Wrestling asks, you mentioned that you wish that you would have had a special WrestleMania entrance at least once in your career with the WWE. So if you had full creative control and an unlimited budget of the WWE, what would a Kurt Angle special WrestleMania entrance look like? And how about an entrance in collaboration with the IOC opening ceremony organizers? That would be fun. Ooh,
that would have been awesome. You know what? That is right up my alley.
Yeah.
Olympic theme entrance.
Yes.
I would take 50 Olympians and 25 on each side going down the ramp. And I would have red, white, and blue fireworks in a bunch of pyro. And the Kurt Angle theme music song playing. It has an Olympic theme to it anyway.
That's right.
And all these lights, colored lights, everything. And just have an overall just entrance, Olympic theme, nothing else. Just Kurt Angle coming down that aisle in between all the Olympians. I think it would be an incredible entrance. It'd be one of the best entrances of all time.
Kurt, you could dress like a classic Olympian with the, like, the wreath around your head and like the white toga outfit
the
on.
Greeks.
The Greek Olympians. It, I mean, you could really go all out, you know, full Olympian.
Might as well go through the history.
Yeah, have them carry you down on some kind of a, you know, seat or throne or something. I mean, my goodness, that would have been amazing. Trumpets playing in the background and just so excessive. That's what it's got to be. It's got to be excessive, grand, over the top. But I love
definitely
that.
Definitely has to be over the top. You're
yep,
right.
Yep. Oh. All right. That was a great question, by the way. Middle Kingdom Wrestling. I love that one. Adfreeshows.com enhancement talent Thomas Falbo asks, were you at the Impact Zone on the night of the Jay Lethal Ric Flair promo? If so, what was the reaction in the back to the promo?
That promo was one of the funniest promos I ever saw. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, I have.
Yes. It is incredible. Woo! I mean, Jay Lethal was on that night, and it seemed like Ric Flair was getting pissed off. I mean,
yeah.
It really did. Yeah, I don't know if he was or not. I never asked him, but Jay Lethal was imitating Ric Flair perfectly. It's one of the greatest promos I've ever seen. Some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
So good.
It was incredible. I loved it.
It was either pissed off or trying really hard not to laugh, or a mixture of both.
One or the other. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
But Flair realized he was looking at him like, I've never encountered anything like this in my life, in my career. This is amazing.
Oh, Jay stepped up that night, man.
So good. So good. Adfreeshows.com enhancement talent Pete asks, if he had been born 4 or 8 years later and therefore won the Olympics in 2000 or 2004 instead of 1996, would you have ended up in MMA, UFC instead of pro wrestling? I think he said seeing Stone Cold on TV helped make your decision. WWE was far less popular by 2004. So this is a tremendous what if question.
So what if I was born in 1760 and I was part of the Revolutionary War back then? Like,
the Redcoats are coming. Man. The Redcoats are coming.
I wasn't born later. I didn't compete in the 2000 Olympics or the 2004 Olympics. But if I did, I'm going to be honest with you. UFC became very popular around 2000. That's when Dana White was really, really working the company, and they were starting to make a lot of money and getting ratings. And I really believe, unfortunately for me, because my calling was definitely pro wrestling, I believe I would have done UFC. I would have went the MMA route. Knowing how popular it was, the way that wrestling was still going up, but I started kind of plateauing at that time around 2001, UFC was skyrocketing. And so if I wouldn't have, I started in 1999 with WWE. So it was still very popular, and it was still going up, the ratings, WWE's ratings. But in 2000, 2001, UFC started really kicking ass. And I really believe that my head would have turned that way, and I probably would have went with the MMA route. Mm.
A lot of what ifs there, just like the Bret Hart thing. What if that would have worked out? I mean, so much we could go back and speculate. And part of it is, I get it, a lot of our listeners love the fantasy booking aspect of it. And it can be a lot of fun when you think about it. Kurt, it's just that we all,
what if I wasn't born yet?
Yeah. What if you just weren't born? I mean, then what? We wouldn't even be doing a show right now. There's just so much you could do. Adfreeshow.com, top guy Eros. He has got two questions for you, Kurt. Eros, long time no talk to you, man. Hope you're doing well. He said, during a match or promo, did you ever expect a response different than the one the crowd gave you, positively or negatively?
You know what? No. You know, for the most part, they were pretty dead on. There were a few different times, and probably more occasions than not, where they were tweeners, where they were both cheering and booing. Because, you know, my character, a lot of times, was absolutely hated and loved at the same time. So I had half the fans cheering for me, half the fans booing me. And that was most of my career, except the very beginning, my rookie year. The fans absolutely hated me. You know what's really cool about that? Is I see the fans now, and they say, your rookie year, I freaking hated you.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it now. I absolutely love how you pissed me off back then. It's like, wow, you know, you play with their emotions, and later on in life, they actually appreciate it. It's pretty cool to hear that.
Well, it's because you're just coming in cold, and people are still trying to figure out who you are and what they have in you. But then when they see your body of work, it's like, holy shit, this guy was amazing from the get-go. We didn't realize it because we just thought he was Leave It to Beaver with a wrestling slinglet coming in, acting like, hey, gee, Beav, golly, Wally. And, you know, so it's like it was just getting to know you and your body of work and seeing what you can do. And now going back, it's like a whole different layer of enjoyment and appreciation. It's you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well said, Paul.
Well, shut up, Kurt.
I thought I was being interviewed, not you.
Oh, here we go. All right. Question number two. During your years as an in-ring talent, was there ever a stable or faction you wish you could have been a part of, even if it didn't make sense for your character at that time?
Well, the two factions I would have loved to have been part of because they were so badass and freaking cool, NWO and DX. Those two are the coolest factions ever. I mean, it was really cool to be in either one of them, you know, whether it was WCW or WWF.
Yeah.
And I love both of them. I would have loved to have been part of that.
The good news now, you're still at the appropriate age right now that you could have joined the NWO because that was like the average range for those guys back then. But yeah, man, you and DX would have was like totally separate back then. You're the good boy, you know.
Did you see me doing this? Yeah, suck it.
Yeah. I would have loved that. Yeah. Good stuff. Great fat. Hey, two of the greatest factions of all time. And Kurt, speaking of being a part of factions and stables, I know there's one faction you wouldn't trade for the world, and that's your family. And there's nothing more important than taking care of your family than by protecting them with life insurance. Yes, this is a life insurance ad for GoliathLife.com. But to me, this is really about peace of mind. Think about insurance for a second. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. Unless you're Kurt Angle, then you're definitely going to need the need for medical insurance. Let me let you in on a little secret. You need life insurance. We're all going to die. Now, as you let that reality sink in, think about what would happen if your family stopped having your income tomorrow. If you don't have a plan for that, you need to visit GoliathLife.com, and I mean right now. Listen, I've lost two friends in their 40s in the last year and a half, and I don't even want to think about what their families would be going through had they not had life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. Protect your family, and I suggest you go to GoliathLife.com because they've made the process of getting affordable life insurance super easy. GoliathLife.com streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than 20 carriers within minutes, and you'll pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick the price, you start the online application immediately, and even schedule the medical exam to come to you. I've done it. They sent someone to my office. I skipped the phone calls, the paperwork, and the crazy invasive conversations. GoliathLife.com makes buying life insurance simple. No hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle. Hell, not even a phone call. GoliathLife.com is life insurance in your hands, on your time. Get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home and begin your application in just a few easy clicks right now at GoliathLife.com. Kurt, we have another question here from AdFreeShows.com. Slapknot Justin Bracken.
There's a lot of slapknots.
Yeah, a lot of slapknots. Justin's a good old slapknot. I like Justin a lot. He asked lots of great questions on different shows, and he said, I know you said you've never been a politician in the locker room, Kurt, but when you came back to WWE and they gave you that GM gimmick, did you argue against it? If not, do you think it would have gone anywhere if you did? Or would have Vince just said, God damn, pal, you're my GM?
Well, Vince would have probably said that. But for me, at that particular time when I went back to the WWE, you can't forget, I left the WWE in 2006. I spent 11 years in TNA. Came back to WWE, I was at the age of 48. That's not exactly a spring chicken. So when you come back to the WWE that late in your career and they offer you the GM role, you better freaking take it. You don't have any other options. You know what they did promise me at that time, doing the Hall of Fame, being the GM, and then wrestling. And that's what I did in that particular order. I wish I would have been different. I wish I would have wrestled first, did the GM role, and then the Hall of Fame third. But it wasn't in the cards for me because Vince McMahon, I believe, he forgave me for leaving the company, but
yeah,
I forget.
I mean, at this point, Kurt would have taken the damn assistant to the GM role. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're.
Hey, I just wanted to go back to WWE for the fans. That's all I wanted to do. I want to go back and retire to say thank you to the WWE universe. That's the only reason I wanted to go back.
And we're so grateful that you did, Kurt. Seriously.
Thanks.
Yep. Adfreeshows.com, top guy. Brian Haremza asks, did Kurt watch any of the NCAA wrestling championships? And if so, other than Gable Steveson, was there someone that caught your eye and that you enjoyed watching?
You know what? The NCAAs this year was incredible. Some of these guys are such good athletes. It's like this new type of training, you know, the core training and all the parkour training and all these crazy stuff that they do now. It's made them into a lot better athletes than we were in our younger days.
Yeah.
But you know, I was watching and I saw a kid that caught my eye. He was from Penn State. He was 197 pounder. He won the NCAA Division I championships. His name was Max Dean. I think he would have the ability to cross over to WWE. I would like to see that if that's possible.
Guys, Max Dean, do your homework, look him up.
Penn State.
You heard it here first on the Kurt Angle Show when he comes a big star one day. So there you go.
And I know my stars.
That's right. He does. He knows his stars. And so, no, that's cool, man. And you never know what could happen. And one day, guys could say, hey, I remember when Kurt Angle spotted him. And then there's a wrestling company that's going to be like, we need to hire Kurt Angle as a consultant. This guy can pick some talents. There you go. Hey,
it's not going to happen. But
that's what Gerald Briscoe did for many years. You know,
you're right. You're right. He recruited quite a bit.
Yeah. So there you go. Adfreeshows.com top guy, John Hickson, good buddy. He said, what is Kurt's Mount Rushmore of collegiate wrestling? And then he shares his. Mine's Dan Gable, John Smith, Cale Sanderson, and Danny Hodge. So if you had to pick.
Pretty damn good.
You had to pick four guys.
Okay, my four, it's almost identical to his. The only person I would take out, and it's not because he doesn't deserve it, but it's because this other person deserves it more. I would say John Smith, Dan Gable, Danny Hodge, and a guy named Dave Schultz from Foxcatcher. The guy that got shot and murdered by John DuPont from Team Foxcatcher. Dave was the greatest wrestler I ever saw in my life. Greatest technician, most intense wrestler I've ever seen, a badass. And, you know, it wasn't that he dominated. He did dominate, but not as much as the other wrestlers that we're talking about. So, you know, Dave won a world championship. He might have won two, and he won the Olympics. But his brother actually did better. His brother won three world championships and made two Olympic teams. But Dave was the best. He was the greatest technician of all time. I learned so much from him, and I had so much respect for him. I have to put him in the top four in the Mount Rushmore.
What about some of these other guys you mentioned, like John Smith? For those that maybe never really followed amateur wrestling.
John Smith was one of the best takedown artists I've ever seen. He had a new move called the low single. He would attack really low, right around the ankles. He was so quick, you couldn't catch him. And whenever you go to step in to tie up with him, he was already on your foot. He had your leg. It was just incredible. And he had this technique called the low single that he dominated. He went through, I believe he won four or five world championships and two Olympics, all back to back, seven years in a row. The only wrestler to do that from the United States. So John Smith is definitely up there. Kenny Monday is another one I would put up there, but not right now. I'm going to go with Danny Hodge.
Okay.
Dave Schultz. Dan Gable and John Smith.
There you go. Good stuff. All right. Adfreeshows.com slapnut Matt Sangervasi says, Kurt Angle, there has been a big debate over the Ad Free Shows network that Mr. Arn Anderson started, and we wanted to get you to weigh in on this. I know there's a big, you're a big healthy eater and chicken snacks are awesome, but on your cheat day, what belongs on your burger, cheese or bacon, or is it cheese and bacon or no cheese or no bacon? Like, what do you like on your burger?
Okay. That's easy. Come on, Paul. You know this. It's cheese. And you know why? Because cheese is made from milk and I absolutely love milk. You don't know that? Come on.
Arn Anderson doesn't want cheese on his burger.
Cheese over bacon.
Arn Anderson doesn't believe cheese should be on a burger.
Oh, Arn's out of his freaking mind.
Yeah, I'm
milk
with you.
Milk belongs with everything.
That's right. A milk product. That's what you're trying to say. He's putting over
yes,
the.
Yes, I am.
I love it. Yeah, man. Cheese. My son is a big time, always wants the bacon cheeseburger. I don't have to have a bacon on my burger, but a cheeseburger. Come on.
You know what? For me, bacon's extra fat. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, if we want to be ridiculous, go ahead. I'm not going to complain.
Throw a few pieces of bacon on there.
Yeah, why not?
Make it more delicious.
So do you like to have like a little summer cookout and throw a couple burgers on the grill every now and then?
Oh, yeah. But I use 98% fat-free ground beef.
So there's absolutely no flavor.
2 grams of fat.
There's like no juice coming out of that burger.
No, oh, they're not. God. It's not. It's hard as hell when you eat it.
Oh, my God.
And most of it burns. It just burns right away.
What are you doing? Oh, man.
I make sure the meat is charred because when it's charred, there's less fat in it. See, there are a lot of tricks and trades to dieting.
Yeah. So what do you do to make it taste good? Any trick, the topping or something? Like, what do you do to choke it down? Milk?
Cheese.
Yeah, I guess cheese.
And bread. You know, that's good enough. You don't need all that fat. You have flavors from cheese and bread and the burger. The burger, I mean, it's mostly protein, but, you know, protein has a little bit of flavor to it.
Are you a lettuce and tomato and onion kind of guy? Pickle?
Of course. Of course. But no ketchup because it's sugar.
Okay.
And I'll have mustard because it's only 8 calories per serving.
If we could all just live like you, that'd be amazing. All right.
Complicated.
No, it's good stuff. Adfreeshows.com. Slapnut Martin Watchhorn says, amazing show. Love listening to every episode. Hey, thank you, Martin. We are having so much fun doing the show. I don't know if you guys can tell or not, but Kurt and I have a blast doing this. So we appreciate that. He said, I got 2 questions. Firstly, could you tell us where winning the title versus Bobby Lashley at Wembley sits in your best career moments? So let's answer that first one.
Well, it has to be in my top 10. And the reason is I was very late in my career. I was probably 47 years old at this particular time. And to win that world title that late in my career, it meant a lot to me. So I definitely have to put in my top 10 of my best matches of all time, at least most memorable matches. But that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I would say top 10.
He goes on and says, secondly, after so many great matches in the UK for WWE, TNA, Rev Pro, etc., what are your fondest memories of working in England?
You know what? I've gone over to England a million times, had a blast every time. Absolutely love working in front of those fans. But the year between TNA and WWE, I went over there like 4 times. I was doing indie shows. And I wrestled Cody Rhodes, Del Rio, Joe Coffey, and Zack Sabre Jr. Wow. And I absolutely loved working over there during that time. And the fans were awesome. And you know what? These were indie shows. And there were like 9,000 fans in the seats. It was just incredible. Though at least ICW was that packed. Rev Pro or WCPW, I think they had about 6,000 fans. So they fill the arenas over there, even with their independent shows.
Talk about working with Zack Sabre Jr., because he's a name that has been made the rounds a lot in the indies. What did you think working with him?
Oh, I thought WWE was going to sign him right away. I'm actually surprised that he's not signed by a major company right now. Because he's that freaking good. I had an incredible match with him. And, you know, I was, you know, at that time, 47, 48 years old. And having that type of match with Zack Sabre Jr., I knew what kind of athlete he was. He was incredible. And, you know, the fans absolutely loved the kid. Like, he was so well known over there. He's like their country hero.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he absolutely is. And, I know he's done some stuff with some NXT tournaments and stuff like that, but again, never had that, like you said, that big run or whatever in one of the big companies. So that would be great for him to be able to do that. Our final question this week, Kurt, comes to us from Top Guy Zol Lopez. And he says, is there a title belt that was more difficult to haul around from arena to arena? Is there one belt that you were like, my God?
All the titles were a pain in the ass. You know, you had to carry those things to the arena, to your car, to the hotel, to the airport, take it through security, take it on the plane. It was a fucking nightmare. Anytime you were world champion, you had to do that. It was such a pain in the ass. But I will tell you, the heaviest one, the one that was the most pain in the ass, would have been the World Heavyweight Championship.
Okay.
It's the biggest and the heaviest, and that would have
that big gold, that big gold World Heavyweight
Championship. Yes, yes, yeah. The big gold on the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you also carried the big, what they call the Big Eagle, which is, that was earlier.
Yes,
in
yes, that was the first title I won.
I love that belt.
That was my favorite title. I like.
I was going to ask you what your favorite one was as a belt mark. Yeah, that was your favorite one.
It was.
I love that belt so much. Well, this has been a fantastic episode. Guys, listen, next time we have Ask Kurt Anything, please continue to send in your questions and ask these different things. And ask questions as we give you these show topics, because this is how we get to learn more and pick Kurt's brain and find out, get a little more insight, a little bit more dirt, as JR likes to say, on what was going on.
Get to know me better.
That's right. We want to get to know Kurt better. This is our opportunity, from his cheeseburgers, or whatever they call biscuits by the time they come off the grill.
Night gorging
habits, all that good stuff, to all the awesome wrestling and Mount Rushmore wrestlers, all these great questions. But this has been really fun. Next time we're together, we're back at it with Sacrifice 2007. It's Kurt's first NWA title victory over Sting and Christian Cage. We're going to discuss his first singles match against Sting that ends up being on television, the build to the three-way. That is going to be an absolute blast. Anytime you're talking Sting and Christian and Kurt Angle, how can you not have fun going through some of that history?
So it'll, Kurt, be a blast.
I'm looking forward to that one with you. But before we get out of here, sir, you know what time it is. It's time for physicallyfit.com, sir.
My chicken snacks and Snack Smart Crispy Protein Bites. One's chicken breast protein, one's plant protein, organic plant protein. You go to physicallyfit.com and order yours. There are 11 different flavors. You can use the code ANGLEPOD and get 20% off your first order, or you can become a lifetime member and get 20% off the rest of your life. Just go on the website and check in to be a member, and you'll get it off 20% off the rest of your life.
That's right. And you can use the promo code ANGLEPOD for that 20% off as well, if you just want to do a one or two or three time order, and it'll take care of you there. But I can't put over the chicken snacks enough. I'm talking about flavors, and I'm talking about all the protein you'll ever need in snacks without all that bad stuff that you heard Kurt just articulate. You heard he's not a man of fat. He's not a man of sugar. He's not a man of any of this. No, he likes it lean. He likes it well done.
Lean and mean.
Lean and mean. And that's how you get to look like the fighting machine, the war machine, Kurt Angle. So there you go. Physicallyfit.com. KurtAngleBrand.com. We talked about milk. You can find milk cartons there. What else can they find there, Kurt?
Well, milk cartons, cowboy hats. You got autographed photos. You got birthday cards, T-shirts, cameo video messages. You got the whole ball of wax. Go to KurtAngleBrand.com. Order yours, and I'll be sending it to you very quickly.
Yeah, check it out. That's where you can get those cameo messages too, where Kurt's going to do those videos. He does some tremendous videos. You get to see him on his social media as well, putting over a lot of great products and services. Also, wildcatbelts.com. My goodness, Andrew is doing a phenomenal job over at Wildcat Belts, crafting all kinds. Speaking of championship belts, which we were just talking about, there's none better than the American hero, Kurt Angle belt, as Kurt's showing that off right now.
Look at that shine, huh?
Oh,
that's incredible. Quality leather, 24 karat gold plating. This is one of the best belt designs I've ever seen. It's not just because it's a Kurt Angle championship belt, which it is, but because it is really high quality. These guys do an incredible job at wildcatbelts.com, and I'm very proud of this. We have three left. That's it. Only three more. I have one. Paul has one, and a fan just picked one up about a couple of weeks ago.
That's right.
Three more left, and that's it. A limited edition.
That's right. Be in that rarefied air. I love when he brings that belt out, because it does have a lot of shine, and it reduces the shine off of Kurt and I's heads, so that's nice. So there you go, wildcatbelts.com. And then finally, you got to check out Wrestling Night at the Park for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers with Kurt Angle. It's Saturday, August 27th. You don't want to miss it. It's Podcast at the Plate. You get to watch the live podcast in the Fox Club there in Appleton, Wisconsin. There are pregame podcast packages available now, so you don't want to miss it. This is Kurt and I are going to be traveling out there. Kurt's going to throw out the first pitch. You're going to get some photo ops and autograph opportunities with Kurt. We're just going to have a blast out there, aren't we, man?
Yes, we are. It's right near Green Bay. Is it Appleton or Apple Valley? What is it?
It's Appleton, Wisconsin, right outside of Green Bay.
It's right outside of Green Bay. We're going to be there and hopefully entertaining all of you.
That's right. And if it means Kurt throwing me in, throwing me belly to back suplex or put me in an ankle lock submission, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to do that. So you never know what you'll see. You'll want to be there for it. You don't want to miss it. But, man, this has been a lot of fun this week. Check us out, adfreeshows.com. You get all this on video, a lot of bonus shows, a lot of bonus content with Kurt and so many others as we continue to grow that as well. But, Kurt, this has been another fun episode. We're going to do it again next week with Sacrifice. Thank you for joining me this week, my friend.
Thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Kurt Angle Show.
On behalf of Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you next week right here on the Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.